Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. We can deal with two companies starting with BID this week, with BID Corp first on the list. The announcement for the 10 months to April is not short on numbers or on good news for that matter, with record results in the 4 months to April, i.e. the period since the release of interim results. But the regional breakdowns within BID Corp have brought some surprises. For example, I don't think anyone expected Europe to be quite so resilient, and equally I think people expected China to bounce back a lot faster than we've actually seen in reality. It is interesting to note that a number of industry sectors have pretty much normalized in BID Corp's view, ranging from accommodation through to cruise lines and conferences. Old habits clearly die hard, and people still enjoy personal engagement, as any battered Zoom shareholder will tell you. Now, all of this is good news for a food service business like BID Corp, with EBITDA margin of 5.7% in the 10 months to April, being in line with pre-COVID levels, thanks to solid cost management that offsets some of the gross margin pressures. But the share price still didn't have a good week despite this news, dropping 4.6% on the day. This might be because of a comment in the update about the rate of growth normalizing, although that doesn't take anything away from the record results. It really just points to how much is already priced into this share. Bidvest is the other company, starting with BID, and I must tell you that bids in the market are exactly what Bidvest has been enjoying this year. This is with good reason, with the company continuing to demonstrate its strength in an inflationary environment. Unlike BID Corp, the update for the 10 months to April is very light on numbers. In fact, there are none whatsoever. But there is plenty of bullish commentary, highlighting the pricing power and the strong cost management in the group. It sounds like things are going well on the balance sheet too, with strong operating cash flows and encouraging commentary around working capital pressures starting to diminish. The only blemish on the commentary was that disposable income pressure is starting to come through in car and appliance sales, and that's something to watch for those who believe that car dealership businesses on the JSE can simply keep up their supreme performance forever. Detailed results from MultiChoice are due imminently, but in the meantime, we do have a trading statement for the year ended March that we can chew on. As expected, things are tough for MultiChoice, with DStv pretty high on the list of expenses that a household can easily cut in tough times. Trading profit is down by between 0% and 5%, including the costs of the Comcast partnership. Core HEPS, that's between 0% and 4% higher, although this ignores the huge forex losses related to getting money out of Nigeria. HEPS, as reported, is now a large negative number, which shows just how severe those forex losses actually are. The harsh reality is that MultiChoice Africa is not as good a business as MultiChoice South Africa, and even that part of the group is coming under a lot of pressure. The share price is down more than 20% year to date. A shout out to Argent Industrial, a small cap with a market cap of under R1 billion that is doing pretty well in this environment. For the year ended March, the company grew its headline earnings per share by between 11.3% and 31.3%. Now that's a wide range for earnings, but that's because Argent actually uses trading statements in the way they are supposed to be used. Detailed earnings are only due at the end of June, and I think investors will be paying attention because the share price is trading on a modest PE multiple based on the latest earnings guidance. Renogen is always a hot topic, with the latest news being the conditional approval of a $500 million senior debt package by the US Development Finance Corporation. There's also a $250 million debt facility from Standard Bank that has been approved, subject to conditions. Hopefully, the United States congressional notification is just a formality, especially based on recent SA-US tensions. The tougher condition is likely the raising of sufficient equity funding on the NASDAQ or through other means, as once again, South Africa does not have the best reputation right now. But the management team at Renogen keeps showing that they can hit these important milestones, so I wouldn't easily bet against them in an equity capital raise. This will be critical to funding the ongoing development of Phase 2 of the all-important helium project. Capital appreciation has grown its non-South African revenue strongly, but the latest results still tell a tough story in terms of profitability. Even without the major provisions linked to GovChat that caused a big drop in HEPS, there was an 8.9% decrease in operating profit. This is because of heavy investment in the employee base, with Capital appreciation investing for growth. I hope that the group will not fall into too big a trap, as many tech companies have done before, when it comes to spending more than their new revenue. The good news is that revenue outside of South Africa has grown significantly, now at 15.2% of the group total versus 6.6% in the comparable period. Trading on a juicy dividend yield by growth stock standards, Capital appreciation still offers an interesting story for investors, despite the recent GovChat troubles and the impact on profitability of this growth phase. And finally, the Fashini Group, where the full year numbers simply do not tell the entire story. The second half of the year exhibits a worrying trend, one that has continued into the new financial year. Dealing first with the full year numbers, revenue increased by 19.4% and operating profit by 12.4%. Gross margin pressure was substantial, 60 basis points overall and 220 basis points in TFG Africa. Despite operating profit increasing, HEPS fell by 4% and the final dividend more than halved. The group is clearly conserving cash, not least of all because debt on the balance sheet has ballooned to 7.1 billion rand after the acquisition of Tapestry and extensive investment in the rest of the business. This is not the right time to be layering on debt, let's be honest. Any jitters around the balance sheet will not be helped by the news that the first 2 months of this financial year saw revenue growth of just 5.8% in TFG Africa, excluding Tapestry, with drops of 10.8% and 4.9% in London and Australia, respectively. The share price rallied 2.7% higher on the day of the announcement, but I think that was due to general improvements in SA sentiment, as I cannot see much to feel happy about in this announcement. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the GhostWrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.